Good morning and welcome to the services of Zion Lutheran Church. We begin our service this morning for the confession of St. Peter with the singing of our opening hymn, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to this Sunday, January 18th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 909, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation, 909 in the Lutheran Service Book. Reverend Charles Olander is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in thankfulness for Nancy Olander on her birthday, January 20th. Reverend Charles and Nancy Olander are sponsoring the radio broadcast in memory of the 2,000 babies aborted in our country every day.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in his stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Open to me the gate of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Be to God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you revealed to the Apostle Peter the blessed truth that your Son Jesus is the Christ. Strengthen us by the proclamation of this truth, that we too may joyfully confess that there is salvation in no one else. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first reading from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning at the eighth verse. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Catechetical review. In regards to the close of the commandments, what does God say about all these commandments?
He says, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments."
What does this mean?
God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. But he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands.
The epistle reading from 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, and as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to at any time recall these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The eighth chapter. Glory to thee, O Lord. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. And others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we now confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 596, All Christians Who Have Been Baptized. Hymn 596 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text from today's gospel reading. And Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. So while traveling along the road with his disciples, Jesus asked them an important question. And it is a question that all followers of Jesus must answer. That is, just who is Jesus? Now some might say of Jesus that he is a great teacher. Others might say of Jesus that he is a philosopher. But a follower of Jesus must know exactly who Jesus is. When Peter was asked, "Who do the people say I am?" he told Jesus, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets." It is then that the Lord, looking over Peter's shoulder at the rest of his disciples, said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" And Peter, confessing on behalf of all of the disciples, boldly tells Jesus, "You are the Christ." Christ, meaning anointed one, the Messiah. You see, Peter had seen Jesus at work. He had seen Jesus doing kingly activities and kingly actions. And with his own eyes, he has seen Jesus deliver those in need, have pity on the weak and the needy. He had saved their lives. He had seen Jesus engage the crowds, for Jesus looked at them and understood that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Through the Word and the Spirit of God, Peter and the others were convinced that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Would Peter stumble? Yes, he would. Shortly after being asked this question of who is Jesus and is making his great confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus begins to tell the disciples very plainly about what's going to happen to him, how he must set his face towards Jerusalem, how he's going to be rejected by the chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the people and the scribes, and that he is going to be put to death. And Peter pulls him off to the side, says, "No, Lord, no, this can't happen. This should never happen to you." He would try and dissuade Jesus from his task. And Jesus would turn towards Peter, looking right at him and say, "Get away from me, Satan." He denounces Peter as an agent of Satan, who is tempting him to abandon his mission of saving the entire world and the whole human race. Peter later would deny Jesus, as Peter feared for his own life. He would suffer humiliation of that great failure. And yet, unlike Judas, who did not trust in forgiveness, Peter would be absolved of his sins. "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." In his post-resurrection faith, Peter declares that there is salvation in no other person than Jesus of Nazareth. We find today Peter speaking before the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jewish people, the elders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the scribes, all these people gathered together. And they were questioning Peter, "By what power, by whose name does this man, did you heal this crippled man? How did you do this? How did you accomplish this?" Now, here's where we get deep into the faith that Peter had after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was the same group that orchestrated the crucifixion of Jesus. And what does Peter do? Peter straight up calls them out. That takes some bold faith. Peter points out that they ought to be investigating criminal activities, not prying into a good deed done to a crippled man. Respectfully but boldly, he right out says, it is in connection with the name of Jesus Christ. And he could have said, it is in connection with the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands before you healed. But he put a comma in there. It is in connection with this man, Jesus Christ, comma, whom you crucified, that this man stands before you healed. You killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. Ouch. The Sanhedrin tried to abolish Jesus, but they were unable to do it. And the God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, establishing him forever. Now, I am fairly confident that none of us sitting here this morning would like to be called out regarding our sins either. But what does sin do? Right? Sin is an attempt to abolish Jesus Christ. Each sin that we commit is a violation of the first commandment. You know, have no other gods. And every time we commit a sin, we're trying to say, I'm God. I know best. I know better. We're trying to make ourselves out to be our own God. But here's the thing. We generally don't think of our sins like that. We could justify our sins in the exact same way that the Sanhedrin justified theirs. It's better that one man die for the country than all the people should perish. As a body, the less crass of them probably figured that if Jesus started a rebellion against Rome, then the Romans would come and they would wipe out the city and a whole bunch of people would be put to death and many people would die. And so they were thinking, in fact, it is a good thing to do to put Jesus to death. They were actually protecting the people. So we too often justify our sins. We don't even sometimes comprehend our sins as sin. It's like a couple living together outside of marriage. Why would you put yourself in temptation's way? And whether you are 24, 64, or 84, if you're living in a marriage-type relationship but not married, it offends God. We can justify it in so many ways. We can justify it by losing financial pieces of our financial portfolio or losing this or losing that. There's so many ways it can be justified. But it's sin, and unrepentant sin brings the judgment of God down upon us. Still, fornication is pretty low-hanging fruit. I worry sinfully. I worry to the point of distraction. I don't know if it comes from a lack of confidence in my abilities. I don't know if it comes from trying to be too perfect or trying to keep everybody too happy or any number of things. But I don't like to think of that as being sinful. I don't like to think of that as failure to trust in what God has planned for me and failure to trust in God's gracious promises to me. I don't like to think of it in such a way. I worry. So how many of you looked at your phone this morning, right? And what's coming at us tomorrow night? Starting tonight and into 3 o'clock this morning, tomorrow morning, or this morning, tomorrow morning, whatever it is, overnight. Right? The temperature's supposed to absolutely plummet. So what am I doing? I'm wandering around the house thinking about pipes. I'm thinking about opening up the sink, and I'm thinking about, should I get a heater and put it in the laundry room so that it can have a low grade amount of heat there and leave that there overnight. It's just in my head, and it doesn't ever go away. I worry about my children. I worry about them staying in the faith. Do I pray for them as I should? Of course I don't. Do I bring my concerns to the Lord in regular prayer? Oh, gosh, no. I would prefer just to sit and stew about it and worry about it and be concerned about it. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. It's sinful worry. I don't like to think of it like that, but doggone it, it is. And quite frankly, such worry and agitation to distraction is a lack of trust that God will care for me. And ultimately, the source is me trying to be my own God. Who likes to have all that called out? None of us do. The point here is that my sin crucified Jesus. I don't like to hear it, but it's the truth. My sins, your sins, all of our sins put Jesus on the cross. The Sanhedrin didn't like to hear it. But Peter said it. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the only way to eternal life. Peter goes on to make an exclusive truth claim about Jesus. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter's confession and our confession of faith also is that Jesus and Jesus alone saves. That's it. Christianity is the only saving faith in the world. Exclusivity. Exclusivity in the name of Jesus. For he and he alone has died for our sins. He, Jesus of Nazareth, is the promised Messiah. There is no second, there is no substitute, there is no alternative to Jesus. None but Jesus exists. The adherents of all other faiths will perish in eternal flame. There is no salvation in them, for there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. When faced with the enormity of our own sin, when hearing Jesus call to repentance, what do? We cling to Jesus, even as he claims us for salvation. The name of Jesus, that is, his person and his work, is for all people of all time, those who are here now and those who are far off. All who desire to be saved must embrace the name of Jesus. And in doing so, through the work of God's Holy Spirit, we will begin to show forth the fruits of faith. Though still in great weakness, we will strive to live lives worthy of our calling as members of the Christian church. For knowledge is a weapon that lays a blow to the error of false ways, for it wields the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are to live self-controlled lives, reining in our passions, putting bit and bridle to our anger, to the greed of our hearts, and the lust and laziness and lack of self-control. But this self-control that we are to exert is connected with a knowledge of the Word. And it controls our reason and it controls our emotions. We are to be brave, that is to persevere in patience. That does not give up faith in Christ when facing trial and tribulation and being pestered by false teaching. To maintain such steadfastness, we need the fellowship of the Christian brethren. That is, we need to have brotherly affection for one another. We are to love one another, even our enemies, understanding their hatred of Christ, and we are to seek to free them from that hatred. Faith is the source. Love is the crown. We carry the same faith as Peter. Faith in Christ Jesus, He who frees us from our sins and brings us to eternal life. Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. He is the sin bearer. It is He who frees us from our sins, and it is He who loves us enough to keep loving us no matter what. In this Jesus, and in this Jesus alone, is found life everlasting. And to this Jesus be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. And now may that faith, that peace that passes all understanding, be in your hearts and minds to the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of our offertory.
Been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you've just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Peter confessed you before the Sanhedrin, and as he was bold in proclaiming salvation in your name alone,
We ask that we too should be bold enough to proclaim you as the Savior of the world and the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Strengthen our faith in you and keep us to the resurrection of all flesh. Lord, in your mercy. As your disciples, O Christ, enable us with a faith that would not shrink from bearing our crosses, but that instead we would accept them when they are laid upon us and bear them in true faith, that we would bring glory to your name and we would be examples of Christian endurance to those around us. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father in heaven, we ask you to hear our prayers for our brothers and sisters in the faith who are sick or hospitalized or are recovering from their infirmities. We remember this day Debbie Taylor during her recent hospital stay and her recuperation from illness. From your throne, O Lord, speak healing to their ailments and strengthen their bodies and strengthen their faith, that if it be your will, they are healed and returned to strength, or given the grace to accept their illness in true faith by asking you that come what may, they would abide by your will and bring glory to your name. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for our nation. If there was ever peace reigning among a fallen people, may such a time come to us. Nevertheless, grant us the grace to accept the turbulent times we live in as we pray for our leaders, that they would be Christian people who would lead and guide according to your will. Preserve our nation from war and bloodshed. Keep us able to deal fraternally with our fellow citizens and grant to us a unity that keeps us from the attack of powers foreign to our values and way of life. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord Jesus, as we this day approach the Holy Supper of your body and blood, may we receive here the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the promise of life everlasting, so that among us your name be glorified and your gifts rightly distributed. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, with your servant Peter and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in His peace.
The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God. Now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 947, All Glory Be to God on High, hymn 947 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Just a couple brief announcements. First, there are no youth group activities this afternoon. And secondly, please, I know the pink sheet's been in the bulletin about bingo for the second week now, but I have the bingo coming up at school here, and would like to enjoy attending that. Yes, ma'am.
We'll make sure they get to her. She would like them by the 5th, which is a Friday. So the first Sunday, we'll get them to you after that. Get them to her after that. But if you would like to sign, just sign your friends from Zion Lutheran Church or your name or something general like that, then she gets them around to all the nursing homes. So thank you.
Thank you. And remember, next week is Life Sunday, and if you want to bring diapers, wipes, and the red cups back, please do so. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.